We extend to you a warm-hearted welcome from the Radio and Internet Ministry of Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
An unchurched person could well ask, how come there are so many churches in our town? Why don't some of them consolidate? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have established your church on this earth, that fellowship of those who trust you as Savior and Lord and are anxious to be a part of the building of your kingdom. God, we pray today that you will bless your church and use it effectively in the world of which we are a part. May we herald that great truth that there has come into this world the God incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has suffered and died at the cross of Calvary, that our sins might be forgiven. Speak to us, O God, through your word. Bathe us in that gospel. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning with verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from close household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this: one of you says, I follow Paul; another, I follow Apollos; and another, I follow Cephas; still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? I am thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized into my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ. Last Sunday, in our series on basic teachings of the Christian faith, we talked about the church. We learned that it was established by Jesus Christ himself, and he gave a promise that it would be here when he returns. He also wanted us to know that the Church of Jesus Christ would have a oneness about it and a unity as we met to worship. He also wanted us to know that there would be power in knowing that we were a part of this body that had one basic mission, and that was to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to the far parts of the world. He wanted us to know that that oneness would be there to give us strength and security, that when things were difficult in life, that we did not face these difficulties alone. We could not only come to him for comfort and peace, but we could go to our sisters and brothers in the faith and know that we had a oneness there. So he talks about the oneness in the church. In fact, he prays for it. But someone looking at the church today could well say, this is not the church we read about in the newspapers. Nor do we live with that kind of a church in our day. Why do you have all these denominations? And even the denominations can't seem to get along. They're torn apart with strife and division. So we have to ask ourselves the question, is the Church of Jesus Christ divided? And the Bible's answer to that is, the true Church of Jesus Christ is not divided, it is united with one common mission, and that is to tell the world about Jesus Christ. Now let's take a look at this whole matter, both from the standpoint of the biblical and then from the standpoint of what we see today. According to our text, there was a visitor who came from Chloe's household and informed Paul that there were some quarrels among the Christians in Corinth. Now, there were evidently certain parties. There were those who claimed to be of Paul's group. As best we can learn, they were the Gentile party. They were made up primarily of those who were Gentile people. They were the charter members of the church. They were the old-timers. They were perhaps some of these people who the younger ones were saying, when are you going to step down and let us take over? They were the people who enjoyed the freedom of the gospel. They were the ones who had learned that if you abide in God's word, Jesus Christ would set you free. That was one group. And then there was another group. They were from Apollos' group. Apollos, we understand, was a very powerful speaker. You hear that in Acts 18, verse 24. So they liked to go to hear this great orator as he expounded some of the great truths of the Christian faith. And then there was a Cephas group. This must have been the Jewish party. While they realized that Jesus Christ was their Savior, they were still uncomfortable with all of this freedom that Paul's group had. They were kind of frustrated when they learned that we're saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus alone, and that you could do away with some of the old dietary laws and things that they had carried along with them from Judaism. And so all of this was, it seemed on the surface, dividing that church in Corinth, and Paul was concerned about it. So he said, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and in thought. Now, let me ask you, do you think that Paul thought there would be no disagreements among them? After all, you know, you had the Bible, but you also had to interpret it. And Paul was the first one to say that now we see through a mirror dimly, and now we know in part. There could be some different interpretations on certain matters, not on the matter of, am I a sinner? Not on the matter, is Jesus Christ the Son of God and the Savior of the world? But on some of the other things which we'll talk about in just a moment. Paul also was enough of a student of the human personality to realize that you could not have a group of people where there would not be some differences. For example, Paul had some differences himself. He and Peter didn't always get along. You recall that. Just read the book of Galatians. You'll find that out. And if you turn to Acts 15, verse 39, you find out that Barnabas, one whom Paul loved dearly, had sharp disagreement with Paul. Paul understood what the human nature was all about. Where you have people, you have different ideas. Paul did not mean that this would all be so nice. We'd never have a disagreement. We'd never really have a fat argument. What he was trying to say was that I don't want you to live with a continual quarrelsome spirit. A spirit that would tear you apart. What I want you to have is a spirit that God alone gives you, His Spirit, and that binds you together. And there we can allow that as long as we are in Jesus Christ, there can be diversity and still have a oneness in the name of that Savior. Now let's see if we can apply this to our day. You remember that our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was praying his high priestly prayer, prayed for the whole church, and that includes the church of our day. And what did he say? He said, Father, I pray that they may all be one, even as we are one. John 17:21. Well, if that was our Lord's prayer, why all the differences in denominations? You can go down the street. Here's the Methodist Church, the Roman Catholic, the Baptist, the Presbyterian, the Evangelical Free, the Lutheran, the Congregational, the Reform, and so it could go on and on and on. Let me say, friend, that within these churches, there are those who are in a living, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And those people are the church. Now, this may be something that disturbs you, and I'd be happy to hear from you. But there is one Christian church, and that is those who are baptized believers in Christ Jesus, who confess him as their Savior and their Lord. You see, at least in most cases, I will not say that there could not be an exception, but in most cases, these congregations have unbelievers and believers in their membership. You say a person could actually belong to the church and not be a believer in Jesus Christ? Yeah, I could point you to hundreds of them. And they're good people, but they're not Christian. By their own confession, I would not be the one to judge them. You see, there are a lot of reasons for people belonging to the church. I know of one man who told me, I want to join your church, or the church that I was serving, because it was a large church. Probably 2,000 people went through those doors on a Sunday morning to worship. He would be very happy to be an usher there. He liked the exposure. And one day when he was having some difficulty as far as his spiritual life was concerned, I began to talk to him about his relationship with the Lord Jesus. And I said to him, "But you're a Christian." And he said, "Whatever made you think that? You belong to the church. You stood in front of the congregation when you were accepted on a particular Sunday and said, 'Yes, you believe in Christ as Savior.'" "Yeah," I said, "I know it. But I really don't believe that. I don't take this thing seriously. The church is another kind of an organization." Now, if you and I want to have unity, as the Word of God is talking about it among that kind of a member, then no, it will not be. But within that church, there were thousands of people who confessed Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. That's the church. And there's one thing that is essential, and that is that Christ alone is the Savior. Let me get a little bit more specific. It's sometimes a little bit hard to do this on the radio. And so I invite you to write back to me if you would like. Perfectly fine. Here it is. I am a Lutheran. I was born into a Christian home of the Lutheran persuasion. When I was a baby, my father took me to the church to be baptized. My mother was still at home in bed. I was baptized when I was 6 days old. And there stood my father and my sponsors, who happened to be an uncle and an aunt. And the pastor baptized me. At that particular time, as a Lutheran Christian, we believed that God entered into a covenant relationship with me. In other words, what he was saying was, "I receive you as my child." But then he turned to my father and mother at home in bed and said, "Now you introduce this boy to the Lord Jesus." And I am grateful that my father and mother did just that. They taught me to pray. They took me to church. They sat beside me in the worship services, and I was in Sunday school as they were in Sunday school. Our home always had devotions. I heard both father and mother pray. They taught me to pray. And I grew up in that baptismal covenant, and it was forever unfolding that I was a child of God. I was spiritually awakened, and I claimed him as my Savior and my Lord. I can point to that day when he said to me through his word, nothing coming out of the sky now, but through his word, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. Every branch that abides in me will bear fruit." And then he said very clearly to me, "But apart from me, Homer Larson, you can do nothing." Spiritually awakened in Christ, I was God's forever. Let's say I had walked away from that. Then I would have to be converted. Our church at least as far as I can understand, and I have studied it now for 50 years, have never said that the act of baptism in and of itself saves you. We simply say that that's where God entered into a covenant relationship with us. Now, I have a lot of good friends who are great Christian people, and we enjoy one another here, and we will enjoy one another in heaven. Several of them are Baptist friends. When I explain this, they simply say, well, that's not the way we see it. And we believe you have trouble justifying that on the basis of the Bible. But you know what? While we can laugh and have a good time about it, we have stopped arguing about that. We have to say that now we see through a mirror dimly, but then someday face to face. My Baptist friends will say, no. First you come to Christ, make your confession, and then you're baptized. That's believer's baptism. Do we have to have a complete unity on that to be one in Christ Jesus? No. No, we don't. I hope that some of you had the opportunity, that is, if you're men, to go to Promise Keepers. I went once with my son, and there I saw tens of thousands of men and their sons sitting there, listening to these evangelical messages and realizing a oneness in Jesus Christ. That's the unity that we talk about. The oneness comes in Jesus Christ. Does that cause us to belittle our individual doctrines? Not at all. Not at all. It simply says that while we deal with them as they are, our oneness is in Jesus Christ. The form of worship that we use, the people, I have some friends who are in what they call the Vineyard. I've never been to one of their services, but I understand that it's rather informal. You're not quite sure from one Sunday to the next what's going to happen as far as the order of service. I have other friends who are evangelical people who belong to the Roman Catholic Church. There it is very orderly. When we get to heaven, or when we stand before God Almighty, the question's not going to be, what is your understanding of the doctrine of baptism, or what is your understanding of how you worship? It'll be this: what did you do with Jesus Christ? Friend, as I grow older, I wonder about the church and the future, and I have some concerns until I realize that Jesus says, I can take care of that. Well, you don't have to worry. However, there are some very bright spots that I see in the church for the future. And you know what I find is one of them? One is, it's exciting to me that denominationalism is fading into the background. In the evangelical world, we are seeing people moving from one denomination to another. When I was growing up, it was a policy, once a Lutheran, always a Lutheran. This is not so with our grandchildren today. They say, I go where I am fed with the Word of God. I belong where I can best serve the Lord Jesus Christ in the building of the kingdom and not all of these other peripheral matters. To me, this is healthy. And here is our oneness with our own little idiosyncrasies. With our own understanding of the Scriptures, we are united in this, that I am a sinner saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. On the basis of this, I ask you, is the church divided? It might look that way, but visit with a person whose life is committed to Jesus Christ, and you will soon sense a oneness. This person in Christ is your brother or your sister, and there are no divisions. Amen. Father, today we pray in a very special way for that part of your church that is afflicted, those who are sick, suffering, dying, those who are away from home, many of them in the service of their country. Lord, may your hand of protection rest over them. And grant, Lord Jesus, that they may sense that oneness that there is in Christ, that fellow believers may gather together and know that we stand not alone, but that you are always with us. In your name we pray, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message comfort and guide you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. Our faithful listeners have supported this nonprofit ministry for 67 years. We thank each of you for your prayers and your generous offerings. October is calendar month for Christian Crusaders. We would like to send you a free 2004 calendar featuring nature scenes from across the country with brilliant four-color photos. This calendar highlights an inspiring Bible verse each month. To receive your free calendar, just call our toll-free number at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. We will need your name, mailing address, and station where you hear Christian Crusaders. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the last 41 years.